Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, May 28, 2024. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 3. Joel 3. We couldn't be studying a better passage or a better chapter in the Word of God with all of the satanic evil in the journalism in America, including the ridiculous RJ. Making the Hamas terrorists like they're poor, horrible, what they're just suffering so much, and it's all the Israeli fault. That is pure satanic evil. Pure. 100% pure evil. Satanic all the way. The poor Hamas leaders and Hamas. That is the most corrupt government in the history of the world. And the leaders, where do they live? They don't live in Gaza. Hell, they're all scared. They're all living in Qatar. And all the money that United States sends and all the countries of the world send. Do you know the leader of Hamas is worth $4 billion. $4 billion. Because the world keeps sending money to help the poor people in Gaza. He takes it, gives a little bit to the people, and he lives. How would you like to live, get a home? It only costs $1 billion for the home. You still got $3 billion left. They 100% totally evil. But journalism is so liberal. Journalism in America, the most liberal thing ever. And all they're doing is carrying out Satan's plan. Anti-Semitism, to hate Israel and blame Israel for everything. And what happened to, who are the terrorists who started this? Hamas! They are the evil ones, not Israel. Well, so, we haven't even started now. I'm on fire for the Lord. See? So Joel chapter 3 is a great chapter we should be studying. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Announcement before we get started. The Upland Evangelism Team this Saturday, June 1st, will be at Child Haven. God has opened that door and kept that door open. The last time we were there was with the teenage girls and boys. This Saturday, the evangelism team will be presenting the Grace Gospel to the elementary age girls and boys. And so pray that God will prepare the hearts of all those elementary boys and girls and the staff members. Pray for the evangelism team. They'll be channels of God's grace, tools in God's hands to be used by Him. Pray that the Grace Gospel is given clearly and accurately. And pray that God might use this to His honor and glory to bring many sons into glory. That's this Saturday, June 1st, 10 a.m. The Great Gaza Deception. Hal Lindsey. For the people of Gaza, the present war is a total disaster. That's the people living in Gaza. But for the top level leaders of Hamas, it's going extremely well. Just as they planned it. While their own people suffer, the highest ranking Hamas leaders sit in luxurious accommodations. Far from the violence in Gaza, Ismail Haniyeh, the head of Hamas, has been living in Qatar since 2016. He hasn't even set foot in Gaza since 2019. Yet, from Gaza, he has accumulated a net worth of $4 billion. Now take a second to let that sink in. The terrorist leader of Hamas is a billionaire four times over. We're rewarding terrorism, making them billionaires. We are so evil. How did he accumulate such wealth? He leads some of the poorest people in the world. Other nations, including the United States, see the Gaza's great need, and they send money. Hamas leaders use that money to strengthen their military infrastructure and to line their own pockets. Hamas is not only a terrorist organization, but a gang of thieves. They lead one of the most corrupt governments that the world has ever known. Why would the people of Gaza put up with this? For the most part, they don't know what's going on with the money. They don't know the magnitude of the help that the world's sending the leaders of Hamas. They don't know the magnitude of the help that comes to these leaders from all around the world. And when Hamas doles out a little of that help, their fellow Gazans see that they are generous. But the biggest reason Hamas stays in power is that the people of Gaza have been taught from early childhood not to blame their suffering on the leaders of Hamas who are causing it, but blame it on Israel. The fascinating thing is that the facts I've laid out here, such as Haniyeh's wealth, are well known around the world. But the global media, journalism, the global media shows a bizarre reluctance to tell the real story. Instead, they also blame Israel. I think it comes from humanity's ancient prejudice against the Jewish people. We think of Hamas as backward, yet they are winning the public opinion war in a big way. Their vicious attack on Israel and Israeli civilians has resulted in massive gains. In just the last few days, Ireland, Spain, and Norway have all recognized a Palestinian state. Their actions are largely symbolic, but it strengthens Hamas's hand. And everyone knows it happened as a direct result of the terrorist attack on Israel in October 7th. In Gaza, Hamas soldiers have died in large numbers, but the leadership of Hamas living abroad remains intact. Despite their losses, Palestinians in Gaza, Judea, and Samaria see Hamas as effective leaders who are able to turn the world against Israel. Who is really turning the world against Israel? The ruler of planet Earth, Satan himself. In that way, campus protesters in America, the nations of Ireland, Spain, and Norway, the United Nations, and even actions by the United States government have prolonged the war and increased Hamas power over all Palestinians. Hamas could have a ceasefire at any time, but its leaders are not suffering. Hamas leaders want high casualty counts among their own Palestinian civilians. They want that. They want scenes of suffering of the Palestinians. And while the nation Israel does its very best not to harm civilians, they have to go into hostile territory to defeat the enemy and free the hostages. Meanwhile, the whole world works against them. Satan works against them. Israel has given Hamas generous terms at the negotiating table. But Hamas leaders don't want peace. Did you hear that? Israel has given Hamas generous terms at the negotiating table. But Hamas leaders do not want peace. published reports say that in April, even the leaders of Qatar had had their fill. They became so angry at Hamas leader Haniyeh for his unyieldingness regarding the hostages that they kicked him out of their country. So he had to leave Qatar and go to Turkey. The Turkey went to Turkey. But the Qatari leaders soon relented and brought him back to Qatar. It's interesting that Qatar became disgusted with the very behavior that Ireland, Spain, and Norway have decided to reward. Well, how should Christians respond? Stay faithful. Draw close to the Lord and to His word in this hour, and spread the good news of God's amazing salvation everywhere you go. Keep proclaiming the grace gospel. Today, planet Earth stands in dire peril. World leaders face global wars and civil wars. Economies perilously skate along the edge of doom. Children have been taught to rebel against even the most basic notions of decency. In such a situation, what can we do? As Christians in this world, how do we answer? Well, the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:2 said, Keruxon ton logon. At Dallas Theological Seminary, across the chapel, as you go into the chapel, you have 2 Timothy 4:2. Keruxon ton logon. Proclaim the word. That's why Dallas Seminary was founded, to train men with the gift of pastor-teacher so they could go out and proclaim the word of God. Proclaim grace. Proclaim truth. There is no truth. You can't get truth in the paper. There's no truth in journalism. You're not getting truth from politicians. You're not getting truth in the world. Who is the ruler of planet Earth? Satan. He is the liar and the father of all lies, the leader of deception. He has deceived the world. But the word of God, God is veracity. God is absolute truth. His word is absolute truth. So keruxon ton logon, proclaim the word. That's what Paul told pastor-teacher Timothy. Proclaim the word. We don't have that many faithful pastors today proclaiming the word. We're living in the dark ages in the United States of America and around the world. There is very little truth, lots of lies, lots of deception, but very little truth. And the Christians, the pivot has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller because Christians are living in Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, and they don't want grace and truth. They believe the lie of the ruler of this world. But Paul told pastor-teacher Timothy, keruxon ton logon, proclaim the word. Proclaim the grace and truth of the word of God. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, proclaim the gospel, the good news of the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not your job to make people believe in Christ. You just give the good news. Then God the Holy Spirit takes it from there. It's our job to faithfully proclaim the grace gospel and the word of God. And a powerful word it is. And then God the Holy Spirit convicts, and the individual has a free will to believe the grace and truth of the word of God or reject it. So do you want to see things change in the world? Then be faithful to the word of God. Keep on proclaiming the old story, the grace gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have an evangelism team that goes many different parts of Southern Nevada giving the grace gospel. But every single one of you have been given a royal commission as ambassadors for Jesus Christ to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And as you fulfill your royal priesthood and grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you will fulfill your royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. The ruler of this world is a liar and the father of all lies. All he presents is deception and lies, and the world has bought it. Sad thing is, most Christians have bought it. Few of you, some of you in here even have bought it. Well, I'm going to keep teach. All I can do is teach the grace and truth of the Word of God, and then it's up to you to believe it or reject it. Joel chapter 3, a humdinger of a chapter. We're in the humdinger chapter. Joel 3, 1 to 17, the judgment of the Gentile nations all over planet Earth for their treatment of Israel. Joel 3, 1 to 8, the judgment is announced. In Joel 3, 1, we have the restoration of Israel as the client nation of God. No one's going to destroy. Satan wants to destroy the nation Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth. Thing is, most of the people of the world today think the same way. They're not going to succeed. They won't succeed at all. Israel is God's chosen people. He has a plan for Israel. He has a future for Israel. And the future is when Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent. When he comes back at the end of the great tribulation, he will rescue those who have believed in Jesus Christ. And there will be a large remnant of Jews who will realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They will believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will rescue them, deliver them, and take them into the millennial kingdom. And at the same time, he will gather up all of the Gentile unbelievers that have survived the tribulation and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's in our Joel chapter 3. And what is the valley of Jehoshaphat? Well, Jehoshaphat means the place where the Lord judges. And he will bring judgment on all unbelievers, Gentile unbelievers from all over the world. It So at the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will restore the Jewish remnant back into their land, Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of David, the Messiah. In his true humanity, is a Jew. The God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. And his true humanity, he's a Jew. He's the Son of David. And he will rule planet Earth from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. The millennial kingdom. And the whole earth will be blessed by association with the nation Israel and with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David. In Joel 3, verse 2, we have the Lord Jesus Christ gathering all the Gentile unbelievers from all the nations of the earth for judgment. In chapter 3, we are ushered into the Messiah's courtroom. And here we witness the execution of his judgment upon the Gentiles for their treatment of Israel, their hatred of Israel, their hatred of the Jewish people. Their anti-Semitism is an expression of their negative volition and rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gentiles' horrible treatment of Israel, their hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Jewish people, is the basis of the Lord's judgment on them. Now the struggles and sufferings of Israel and the Jewish people are well documented. From Egyptian slavery to the Roman destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. From that time, the Jews have had 20 more centuries of anguish as the shadow of persecution has dogged their every footstep throughout the world. They have suffered persecution, horrific suffering, and Holocaust over and over and over again. From the Spanish Inquisition, you know the Spanish Inquisition wasn't against Christians. It was the destruction, execution of Jews. The Spanish Inquisition, to the stench of Vienna's ghettos, to the poverty of Poland's peasantry, to the sword of Persian massacres, and the horrible heel of Nazi annihilations. And through all of this, God has never forsaken his chosen people. God has never been taken by surprise at the cruelty perpetrated against his chosen people. The living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a holy God, absolute righteousness and perfect justice, infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinitely fair. And Moses prophesied in the God-breathed scriptures that Israel's disobedience, turning away from the living and true God and his word, would result in God's judgment and discipline, the five cycles of national discipline, which we studied in rather awful passages. Leviticus 26, 14 to 39 and 46, Deuteronomy 4, 25 to 31, Deuteronomy 28, 15 to 26, Deuteronomy 28, 38 to 42, Deuteronomy 28, 47 and 48, Deuteronomy 28, 58 to 67. And yet with all of that, Israel has yet to face her greatest Holocaust ever, which is known as Jacob's Trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, the seven-year tribulation period, Jeremiah 34 through 7. The tribulation will be a time of unprecedented persecution of Israel as the nations of the world converge upon Israel. The king of the north, Russia, will come down into Israel. Kings of the east, communist China, will come in. The kings of the south, the pan-Arabic bloc, will come into Megiddo, the valley of Megiddo. And the revived Roman Empire under the Antichrist will come from the west. And they'll all assemble in the valley of Megiddo, Armageddon, to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. Zechariah 14, verse 2. It will also be a time of great blessing and repentance as a remnant of Jews will realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And they will turn back and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Zechariah 12, 9 through 11. And the Lord Jesus Christ will rescue this remnant of Jewish believers, restore them back into their land, the land of Israel. And Jesus Christ will rule planet Earth from Jerusalem as the Son of David. All right. First of all, verse 1, before we get into the judgment of all the Gentile unbelievers, first of all, verse 1, the restoration of Israel. In the Old Testament, whenever they wanted to start out and get your attention, pay attention, wake up, why, it would always start in the Hebrew, either vahane or kihane, kihane. Here we have kihane, conjunction ki plus the demonstrative particle, hene. And ki, it means four, should be translated four here. Hene means lo or behold. H-I-N-N. You say, well, I only see one N there. Well, that little dot, that the doubling dot, H-I-N-N-E-H. Hine. And it may be translated low, although nobody says low anymore. How low can you go? That's about the only low we know. This is behold. So one, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, BDB, the Hebrew Lexicon, page 244, tells us that this phrase, ki hene, is used to introduce a very important declaration in Scripture. Very, very important declaration of the Word of God. Two, it is especially used in prophetic passages, which is what we have in Joel 3. We have the prophecy of the regathering of the Jewish remnant to Israel as the client nation of God in the millennial kingdom. Israel will be restored as the client nation to God in the millennial kingdom. They will be the client nation of God for 1,000 years. And the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will rule from Israel, rule from Jerusalem. And the whole world will be blessed by association with the Jewish people, the whole world, blessed by association with the Jewish people, and the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of David. 3, Joel introduces chapter 3 with the words, "For behold." Why does he start out like that? To get the attention of the congregation. See, you have some of you come here and sleep, and if you're that tired and this is the best sleep you get, go ahead and sleep. You know, I'm not gonna. There's times that I was working as a cement finisher to make money to go to Dallas Seminary. It was in the summertime. I'm working as a cement finisher, and it's hard work. And in the summertime, you have to go to work at 3 o'clock in the morning when it's cool. So I get up and go to work at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm out there tamping the concrete and getting out there and finishing the concrete, starting at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I told the fellow that I work for, I said, "I'll do this, no problem. You got to get me to the church on time. You got to get me to the church for Bible class." And Marshall Nichols always got me to the church on. A lot of times he'd drive up, drop me off. I'm still got all my work clothes on, some concrete and cement all over my clothes. I smell like I don't know what. And I came in, I sat in the side room there, and I was so beat and worn out. Pastor Breckel was teaching, and I'm having a hard time keeping my eyes open. And then he looks over and he saw me. He says, "Go ahead, Dick. Yeah, I know. You go ahead and sleep. You need to sleep. I know what you're doing. That cement finish is hard work. You need to sleep." As soon as he said that, I'm wide awake. So if you're that tired in here, well, you go ahead and sleep. I won't say anything. I'll wait till class is over, and then I'll hit you. Just kidding. So Joel introduces chapter 3 with the words, "Ki hene," to get the attention of the reader. 4, Joel is shouting, "Hey, wake up, pay attention. I'm about to explain in detail the action taken by the Lord at the second advent to set up His kingdom on earth, to rescue His people, the chosen people, and to bring judgment on the Gentile unbelievers. For behold, in those days," the preposition beth, which means in, hema, which means those, yom is the word for day. You know, you've heard of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Well, this is Yom, day. It's in the plural, days. So the phrase, "in those days," refers to the days immediately following the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. For behold, in those days, immediately following the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it says, "and in that time." This is the conjunction vav, prefixed to the preposition beth, which is prefixed to the noun eighth, plus the pronoun he with the definite article. Now the conjunction vav is the connective vav, translated and. Again, we have the preposition beth, which means in or at. Here it will be translated at. And then the pronoun he, which means that. And then a word, a Hebrew word for time, eighth. I-N-E-T-H, eighth. Eighth means time. It means a proper time, a suitable time, an appointed time. Here it is an appointed time. It means at that appointed time, and at no other time, at that appointed time set by God Himself. This is the early days of the millennial kingdom right after the second advent. So, for behold, in those days and at that appointed time, the early days of the millennium, right after the second advent, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, when you read that in the King James, it doesn't make a lot of sense when you see the word captivity. And literally, that's what the word means. But it means far more than that. So this is the relative pronoun asher plus the hifil imperfect of the verb shuv plus the direct object marker f joined by a makef to the noun shabuth plus the proper noun Yehuda and the proper noun Yerushalayim. Now, Brown, Driver, and Briggs says on page 82, tells us that when the relative pronoun asher is used after a word denoting time, well, eighth is the word for time, then it becomes a temporal particle, and you correctly translate it when, and then the verb shuv. S-H, long U-B, shuv. A couple of things on this verb. One, shuv in the cow stem means to turn back. To turn back or to return. Two, in the hifil stem, which is what we have, shuv means to cause to return, to bring back, to restore. So the hifil stem is the causative stem of the Hebrew, and shuv in the hifil stem means to cause to return, to bring back, to restore. The first person singular subject, I, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ will restore Israel to the land following His second advent. The Lord Jesus Christ will restore Israel to the land following His second advent. As much as Satan is trying to destroy Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth, he will fail. He will fail. And we're going to be in the next book after Joel, and nobody's figured out what that book is yet. The Lord Jesus Christ tells the Jews who have turned back to God and His Word, I will be a wall of fire around you and protect you. Jesus Christ is the wall of fire around Israel. No one will ever destroy Israel. Jesus Christ Himself is a wall of fire around Israel. Now and forever. So, three, the Lord Jesus Christ will restore Israel to the land following His second advent. Four, the Lord Jesus Christ will regather the remnant of Jewish believers and restore them to the land as His client nation. And they will remain the client nation to God for 1,000 years. The Lord Jesus Christ will regather the remnant of Jewish believers and restore them to the land as His client nation. The direct object marker F is joined by a makef to the noun shabuth Oh, I'll give you that one. That's S-H-V-A-B-L-O-N-G-U-T-H, Shabooth. The direct object marker F introduces what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to restore and to whom he is going to restore it. Shabooth, well, that's the word. Literally, it means captivity. But Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, page 986. See, the sheen is not the last letter in Hebrew, but it's next to the last. 986. BDB is over 1,000 pages. No pictures. Small print. On page 986. And it means the restoring of fortunes and the restoring of grace blessings. Shabooth means here restoring of fortunes, restoring of grace blessings. This restoring of fortunes and grace blessings is for Yehuda, Judah, and Jerusalem, Jerusalem. For behold, in those days and at that appointed time, the early days of the millennial kingdom, right after the second advent, when I, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall cause to bring back the fortunes and grace blessings of Judah and Jerusalem. One. At the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will cause the captivities and persecution of the Jewish people to cease. No more. No more. At the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will cause the captivity and persecution of the Jewish people to cease. Never again. Never ever will it happen again. Two, not only will the Lord cause their persecution to cease, but he will also regather the remnant of Jewish believers back into their land. Not only will the Lord cause their persecution to cease, but he will also regather the remnant of Jewish believers back into their land. No more captivities, no more persecution. All that is over. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ will restore the fortunes and the grace blessings to his chosen people. And there's a special phrase in the Old Testament scriptures that describes Israel as God's chosen people. Some of your translations say the apple of his eye. Well, there are no apples in your eye. It's the pupil of your eye. And the pupil of your eye is the most protected part of your body. And we will study that again when we get into the next book we'll be studying in the Old Testament. So not only will the Lord cause their captivity and persecution to cease, but he will also regather the remnant of Jewish believers back into the land. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ will restore the fortunes and grace blessings to his chosen people. Four, then there will be one people back in their own land, and the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, Jew in his true humanity, will rule planet Earth for 1,000 years. The God-man, hypostatic union of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now, there are several passages that present this. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. And we've been in Isaiah 11 before looking at the millennial kingdom. It's in this passage in Isaiah 11, actually from verse 1 all the way through verse 12, talking about the millennial kingdom. And we've already studied, like starting at verse 6, the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion yearling together, and little child will lead them. All this is in the millennium. The cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth, the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, verse 10, in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him. This is the There will be Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ and are delivered at the end of the tribulation. And they will come from all over planet Earth for fantastic Bible classes in Jerusalem with the Lord Jesus Christ teaching. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him. And his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will raise a banner for the nations, and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. They'll be brought back to Israel in the millennial kingdom. Now, turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, another great prophetic passage. Verse 5, starting at verse 5. The days are coming, declares the Lord. Here the Lord is God the Father. Jehovah here refers to God the Father. The days are coming, declares the Lord, God the Father, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch. The Messiah is the son of David in his true humanity. A king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be delivered and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name. Here is the name of that righteous branch, the king. And this is the name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness. It's Jehovah Tzidkenu. So we have there's the Tetragrammaton, this time referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah, and then Tzidkenu. Jehovah Tzidkenu, which is the Lord, our righteousness. Jesus Christ has a title, Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. So then, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of all of the countries where they had banished them, and then they will live in their own land. No longer scattered all over planet Earth. Now they will be gathered and live in their own land. And Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Acts 15, starting at verse 15. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after these things I will return. And I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. And I will rebuild its ruins. And I will restore it, in order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, believers, those who believed in Jesus Christ, in the tribulation and were delivered, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. So with the second advent, there will not only be a remnant of Jewish believers, there will be a remnant of Gentile believers. These are people who the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, have given the grace gospel to the world. And there were multitudes who believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Most of them were martyred for their faith. Most of them were slaughtered by the Antichrist and ecumenical religious system, the prostitute. But for those who survived, Jesus Christ rescued at the second advent and brought them into the millennium. And then turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. And at verse 30, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect believers from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. The gathering of the remnant to go into the millennial kingdom. All right. For behold, in those days and at that appointed time, early days in the millennium, right after the second advent, when I, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall cause to bring back the fortunes and grace blessings of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay. Now verse 1 looks at the restoration of Israel. Then chapter 3 gets into the judgment on Gentiles. the judgment on Gentiles by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will administer the judgment in the valley of Jehoshaphat, which means the Lord Jesus Christ judges. So that's coming up. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing, encouragement, and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.